on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. This is our Monday, April 28th, 2025. And I'm here, as always, to help you work through this challenging market. The dynamics are ever-changing, and it can take some nerves of steel to really make good decisions consistently, to avoid the hype, avoid the fear, and focus on, you know, what the reality of the situation we're dealing with is. And the reality is more challenging than it was 6 months ago, a year ago, even 5 years ago. Even you can argue with COVID. You know, COVID, it was, I think, a bit clearer, you know, how policymakers were shifting policy, how the economies were evolving, especially after the first few months. It kind of, you know, we knew we were reopening slowly and things were getting, you know, marginally better. Now we don't know. We don't know. It could get marginally worse. It could get marginally better. It could get significantly better or worse in both directions. All depending on how policy evolves. And so we are here to not give you the answers, but the frame of mind so that you can take the data, not get confused by headlines, but use the incoming data to make smart decisions with your portfolio, make smart risk versus reward decisions, and find the opportunities. The opportunity set has narrowed. There aren't as many opportunities as there was just a few months ago in markets. There's more risk. But once again, that just doesn't mean that you just curl up in a ball and hide in a cave. It's about adjusting your thinking, adjusting your allocation accordingly. So that's what we are here to do. So I'm Justin Klein. And I'll remind you that quickly, we are coming up on our next Invest Talk Wealth webinar in just 2 days. It's this Wednesday, April 30th at 1 p.m. Pacific time. Luke and I will be hosting a free Invest Talk Wealth webinar, and I'll be unlocking the power of custom indexing so you can take your investment strategy to the next level. That's what this is all about. Drilling down on how to navigate tax events like business transitions or selling real estate, for example. Maybe how do you look at your taxable accounts from a long-term perspective? How does it apply to your retirements beyond just your 401k, your IRA? Most people have additional taxable accounts as well, so we're going to talk a lot about that. And then also diversifying away from concentrated investments. So if you work for a large company, public company, maybe you have a lot of stock options, and you're overexposed. How do you transition out of that effectively, efficiently? So we're going to look at that. And then also aligning your investments with your values. Everyone has different value sets, and sometimes they want to express those values in their investments. So how do you do that as well? So we can do all this while achieving growth. And that's what this webinar will be all about. Seats are limited, but you do have to register over at investtalk.com. Once again, it's coming up this Wednesday, 1 p.m. Pacific time, April 30th, the all-new Invest Talk Wealth webinar. Now, back to the mission at hand, we have a mix of educational and actionable material to go over. And of course, your contributions in the form of the questions and comments are always welcome, the most important part of this show. So don't hesitate to give me a call at 888-99-CHART. Now, in just a bit, we are going to talk about today's market activity, as well as run down the show topics for the hour. But as usual, we'll tackle this caller question first.
Understander Luke, had a question today about investing in Brazil. Let's look at ticker EWZ. Want to get your take on that, seeing if you guys had any investments in here and what you thought about Brazil over, say, something like investing in Mexico, looking at other opportunities outside of the U.S. Thank you. Bye.
All right, glad you're looking at some foreign investments, because I do think there's a lot of merit to many of those names. Now, Brazil has some of its own challenges, mainly political. And I have no problem owning some Brazilian assets. However, if you're comparing it to Mexico, I would go with Mexico over Brazil. Doesn't mean you can't have both, but just understand there are different sets of risks and opportunities. I think in Mexico, because of the close relationship with the United States, even though, you know, we talked about tariffs and all that, it's pretty clear that President Trump has, I think, a better relationship with Mexico than, say, Canada, for example. And because of that tight trading relationship, a lot of energy flows back and forth, and there's just more of an intertwined economy and a more important economy, frankly, down there than Canada. And the demographics in Mexico are fantastic. A lot of young people, the skill down there is better than a lot of countries. And so I just think there's a lot of, and there's more political stability, even though we have the cartel issue and all of that. It's more of a corruption thing that, frankly, a lot of countries have to deal with. You know, even countries like India, you know, has a lot of corruption issues. So I think those are things that can be worked through. Brazil, you know, I think their political situation is a lot more volatile. So that brings an extra layer of risk involved. Once again, doesn't mean you don't invest in it. I'm just giving you kind of comparing and contrasting the two between Mexico, since you mentioned it, and Brazil. But I think it is a good place to look. It is a more of a petro state because they do export so much oil and, you know, Petrobras. And it's going to be really driven by commodity prices. So not just the oil, but commodities in general. Large country, a lot of natural resources. They export a lot of it. And so in many ways, it's going to be correlated with commodity markets. And so, the Brazilian market is strengthening. I am seeing some good relative strength recently. So I like that. So having some exposure in Brazil, I do think is a good idea, but I would have a bit more in Mexico. Now we're going into a short break, and on the other side, we'll preview today's topics and talk about today's market activity. But please remember, you can call anytime and leave your questions on the InvestTalk Voice Bank at 888-99-CHART.
April is Financial Literacy Month, and KPP Financial is offering a special opportunity to enhance your financial knowledge. For a limited time, you can receive the first 3 months of the KPP Premium Newsletter absolutely free. The newsletter brings you expert insights and economic analysis straight from the KPP leadership team. It covers market trends, stock ideas, portfolio management tips, and consumer finance news. And here's how you get your free, complimentary 3-month subscription. Visit investtalk.com and use the code KPPFLM. Offer ends April 30th. And tell your friends about the all-new InvestTalk Wealth Webinar, Wednesday, April 30th. It's all happening online, and it's free. Pre-register now at investtalk.com. The InvestTalk phone lines never close. And now, Justin Klein is here. Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. It's how you get through and ask your question on today's show. And we have a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes, and time permitting, we'll get to all of it. The first is our main focus point, and that is a simple guide to investing in gold. You're choosing the best option for your portfolio and financial goals by using various ways to invest in gold, including mining stocks, gold ETFs, futures, purchasing physical gold. We'll unpack the pros and cons of all of this. In addition, we'll dig a little bit deeper into the economic impact of these tariffs. And not just looking at rhetoric, but what hard data do we have? And what are the major world banks, things like that, what are they saying for not just the U.S. economy, but the global economy and other economies around the world? And what are individual companies saying? Are they upgrading or downgrading earnings expectations? What are they saying about new orders? What are they saying about CapEx plans? What are they saying about prices that are that they're paying? Okay, and all that. And so we'll dig into that in a little more detail if we can. And then also an update on the market bounced, but what is the performance of foreign stocks versus domestic stocks? What does that look like now that we're through this market bounce, right? Oversold, market bounced, into resistance. It's kind of where we're at now. And you know, has that shifted the leadership in markets? Okay, so we'll talk about that. We also have some voice bank calls. One is on investment portfolio percentage, as well as gold. And we also have some questions that came in from the Invest Talk YouTube channel. And of course, I welcome your finance and investment questions right now. So don't hesitate to give me a call at 888-99-CHART. Let's take a look at the market today. It was kind of a flattish day overall. You had the NASDAQ down slightly. You had the S&P up slightly. You did have the Dow up about 0.25%. Small caps definitely led overall. Small cap value was the big leader. If you're looking at the Morningstar style box, it was up about 0.68% on the day. Definitely the strongest part of the market for this Monday. And if you look at the economic data, there wasn't really much. Tomorrow we have the JOLTS number for the month of April, so job openings. And this will be one sign of what's going to happen with the jobs market. Is there other layoffs over the past month? Are companies pulling back hiring as well? You know, we've had the unemployment, initial claims for unemployment. That's been fine. It's been kind of in the same range. But there's two ways to kind of weaken the labor market. One is to get rid of people. Other is to just stop hiring altogether. And you know, it's easiest to just stop hiring altogether. Hiring freeze. I'm seeing a lot of that in corporate America right now, small, medium, and large businesses. So I think the JOLTS data will probably reflect some of that, but we'll see how dramatic that is. A Wednesday, we have a lot of economic data points. We'll have the ADP employment change. So that'll give us a little insight into what to expect for Friday. Remember, Friday is the jobs number. And then we have the core PCE and the PCE index. That's something the Fed certainly watches. So that'll be an inflation figure that we'll be able to see for the month of April. Also, personal income and personal spending. So are people making more or less money? Are they spending more or less money? That will be important to watch as well. We also have total vehicle sales, pending home sales on Wednesday. So a deluge of data that's going to come in on Wednesday. And then if you look at other parts of the market today, gold finished up 1.5%. Oil was down about 1.5%. The dollar index was down about 0.5%. And treasuries were a bit stronger. And you had rates fall pretty much across the curve. So that was the market today. Once again, not a whole lot of economic numbers. We are getting, you know, earnings season. We are in the midst of earnings season. So this is something that we're going to continue to watch. What type of, it's not about the last quarter. It's really about what markets or what these companies are expecting for the balance of the year. And that will be what the market truly reacts to. And we'll see if we get any strength. Right now, it's been weakness in the expectations going forward for earnings. Now, let's take a look at a fresh question from the comment section over on the Invest Talk YouTube channel. And Isaiah Tipton says, hey, Invest Talk, what do you guys think of ODFL after this past sell-off? What's a good entry point? Now, first off, I have to say, I like this company. This is Old Dominion Freight Lines. It's the name that's on the watch list. The problem is that this is a logistics company, a transportation company. It's a trucking company. And if there's less imports, right, the imports from China are down 60-ish%. And global trade, it means less shipping, you know, lower global trade means less shipping. And that's going to manifest here in the coming quarters. So, you know, I think there's support around the 140 level. So you're getting there. But, you know, I would just be very patient on it. The technicals are poor. I would continue to have it on your watch list. It's not something I would jump in right now, especially with the weakening trade that's happening worldwide. So keep on your watch list. Great company. Should be on everyone's watch list, but not the time to jump in quite yet. Now we're moving into a break. Still to come, my focus point, more answers to your questions. So give Invest Talk a call at 888-99-CHART.
The calls are free. The unbiased answers are free. So what are you waiting for? Call Invest Talk 888-99-CHART.
Now, our main focus point is about gold and a simple guide to investing in gold. Now, I've said at the top of the show, this may not be the best short-term time to buy gold. It's ran a lot, and it was just on the cover of Barron's. But there are a lot of longer, medium and long-term tailwinds to the price of gold. We see geopolitical uncertainty, and I'll get to that in a second. But you know, there are a lot of reasons to be bullish gold, like I said, medium and long-term. But let's get into the pros and cons of investing in gold in general and see if it's right for you to, you know, maybe pick up some if you don't have any or add to your position on any short-term weakness. Now, the pros of investing in gold are it's a tangible asset, can't be debased, and it doesn't have a direct connection to the poor performance of the stock market, for better or for worse. That can be a good thing, it can be a bad thing. Depends on what's happening in the broader market, right? So it is a hedge against inflation. And more accurately, it's a hedge against monetary debasement. I've talked before, I think I quoted that gold was up 8 times since 2000. I think it's actually up 10 times. And that was a couple months ago when I looked at that number. So it's probably up even more. And it pretty much correlates with the amount of the growth in U.S. debt over the, you know, from 2000 until today. So if you think that the U.S. government is going to continue its financial largesse and grow the amount of debt outstanding, then gold is going to naturally likely follow that number. Now, it is a hedge, like I said, a hedge against inflation, hedge against monetary debasement, and it also acts as a diversifier for a portfolio, typically moving in the opposite direction of the stock market. This year is a good example, right? Markets down considerably, gold up considerably. Doesn't always move that way. Sometimes they move in the same direction, but generally, it tends to be a good portfolio hedge. For example, 2008. You had the financial crisis. It was around 400 to 600 in that range, 2008. And then by 3 years later, it was at $1,000 an ounce. And a lot of that had to do, once again, with us printing money and running large deficits, et cetera. And we continue to do so to this day. It's also a safe haven asset. So in 2016 Brexit, for example, it was up 10% in 1 month. It tends to go up in more uncertain social and geopolitical uncertain times. And obviously now is one of those. And then it's physically durable. It can't be destroyed in a disaster. It can't be worn down over time. It's been there for thousands of years and will be here thousands of years beyond you and I on this earth. Now, what are the cons? It's expensive to hold, right? You can get it stolen if you have it in your home, for example. And if you want someone else to store it for you, you're going to have to pay. It also can be illiquid. If you want to pay for something, it's not the easiest to cash out, physical gold. And it doesn't pay some sort of a dividend. Now, what are the ways you can invest in gold? First would be physical bullion or ingots. And ingots are oppressed, gold bars are poured, and then there's coins. So those are another way you lose your little premium for the coins, but that's physical form. And gold for investment, usually 99.5% pure. So there are different purities, right? 14 karat, et cetera. But, you know, for investment, you want those 99.5% plus pure. Then it's, you can buy funds, ETFs, mutual funds, and they tend to be much more liquid, right? If you want to cash those out, you can go do that. If you want to buy something that's directly related to gold price, you can do that. GLD, right? IAU, for example. Or you can go buy mining stocks. Mining stocks are going to be more volatile and there's more upside, but there can be more challenges with the quality of the mines. You can have mine disasters. You can have the mines that they're putting in operation that don't really fulfill their promise. You could have them exploring mines that don't really go anywhere and just sink a lot of expenses into, and there's not a lot out of it. So, you know, that's the issue with mining stocks. So you have to do kind of your research. There's about 300 different mining stocks. You can buy those, once again, individually, or you can buy a broad-based GDX ETF, something like that. It really comes down to your risk tolerance level. If you're a high-risk person, individual mining stocks, maybe using options or futures, you can do that as well. And that would be the most aggressive. So it just matters what type of investor you are. We like individual mining stocks, excuse me. We can do research. A lot of them pay dividends. We like that. Whereas if you own a GLD, you own physical gold, you don't get those dividends. And usually if gold prices are going up, those incremental dollars go straight to the bottom line of the miners if they're well run. And that's the biggest issue. Of those 300, there's really only a couple dozen that are really well run. The rest are either exploration companies that are just big money pits. Others are, you know, just poorly run. And so you have to be very selective if you want to find the best, but you can find them just like we do for our clients. So that's the breakdown of how to think about investing in gold. Maybe not the perfect time to buy right now, but you know, it could be worse as well, because I do think we're bullish long-term. Now we're moving to a break. Live call next from Eric in San Francisco on Newmont Mining here on Invest.
Get ready for an all-new Invest Talk Wealth webinar, Wednesday, April 30th. It's all happening online, and it's free. Pre-register now at investtalk.com.
Let's go talk to Eric in San Francisco, looking at Newmont Mining.
Hey, Justin, seems like a timely call. I called in, did not even know you were talking about gold. Mm-hmm. I was watching your YouTube video this past weekend, which is one of my favorites of the week, always. And noticed that you said it's a good time to maybe take a break from gold. I was thinking about consolidating some of my positions. I decided I want to keep Wheaton Precious Metals and Eagle Mines and maybe cut Newmont Mining. I was hoping you can actually take a look at the chart for me, because I was thinking, should I sell out now because gold is overbought? But looking at the chart, it seems like it's hitting some resistance and might break through. Hoping you could take a look at Newmont chart for me, please.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely hitting that resistance from its October highs. But it's just kind of consolidating here. And to me, it looks like it's gaining power to head higher. And I don't want to get too bearish on gold. You know, I'm just... There's flags that make me say, okay, this has moved pretty far. It's getting a bit of a crowded trade. It hits the cover of Barron's. There's just signs that, you know, I've been doing this for 25 years, that it doesn't mean that gold has to turn around and go south by 20-30% from here. No, it just means that it probably needs to take a breather. You know, a 5-10% pullback would not shock me. A consolidation and choppy period for the miners for a little bit would not shock me either. Just saying that if you see, you know, some near-term weakness, don't freak out about it and think that everything's going to hell in a handbasket just because it's not going up, you know, 10% a month now. You know, it might have a, you know, down 3% month, and that's Frank, that's healthy. You know, like I said, this is Newmont has been chopping here around the mid-50s for now 2 weeks, and that's healthy. It's there's nothing wrong with it. There's no reason to, I think, sell out of it. To be honest with you, I would probably continue to hold it. If you want to, you know, how many names do you have?
These three.
Three? Okay.
Wheaton Precious Metals, AEM, and NEM, yes.
I see no reason to consolidate it. What is your total allocation to these three names of your portfolio?
It's about 24%.
Okay. So that's a little on the high end, but I think overall that's okay in this environment. You know, to me, it'd be more of, you know, do you want to trim that down? You know, this would be that period we want to do that, right? Trim that down, maybe bring it down to 20, rebalance some of the positions. That's the way I would do it. I don't think you need to. Three names is, I'd rather have a little bit more diversity there. All three of those are solid names. We own two of those three for our clients. So, you know, I have no issue with owning all those three. It would just be more of maybe right-sizing that for your overall portfolio, doing a bit of rebalancing at this time. That's the way I would think about it. So I would continue to hold Newmont. It would just be more of a rebalance of your portfolio.
Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for the call. Let's go talk to Sammy from San Francisco, looking at Google.
Hi, thanks, Justin, for taking my call. I would like to get your opinion on Google. Do you think this is a good price to get in, or I should wait?
I'm still pretty bearish on the Mag 7 overall, and Google is definitely one of those names that I have mixed emotions. Long term, I like a lot of their properties, mainly YouTube and Waymo. You know, Waymo is, I think, well ahead of Tesla or any of the other driverless car systems that are out there. It's obviously been tested in many roads, especially in the Bay Area. And so I think there's some strength there. Google is probably the second best streaming platform behind Netflix, and there's a lot of strength there. Obviously, we're on YouTube, and there's just so many content makers there, and it's relatively free for Google to have and support YouTube. So I really like those platforms. My biggest issue, though, is that's not where most of their revenue is coming from right now. It's search. And they're implementing search, or sorry, AI into their search, and they're not seeing a strong degradation of their search activity. But in an environment where the economy looks to be slowing, these businesses are going to have a lot more trouble importing their products from overseas, making a true business case if their costs go up. And that means a lot of those companies are going to trim advertising. And that's where most advertising is now, is online. And obviously, when you're the leader like Google, same with Meta, right? Those are kind of the two of the Mag 7 that are going to be most exposed to an economic downturn overall because it's so heavily reliant on advertising. So that's my biggest issue with Google right now and why I think it continues to be on the sidelines. Because of those kind of economic headwinds that I think it's facing. And you can see that with earnings expectations. The market didn't really go gangbusters over the recent earnings announcement. Revenues are up 12%, which was in line with the previous quarter. And earnings growth decelerated, and that's before Liberation Day. And so analysts only expect a 14% growth next quarter. And down to single digits by the fourth quarter. By the third quarter. And the technicals remain poor. It went to the 50-day moving average yesterday on Friday and hasn't been able to hold it. Was down today with that relative weakness. So name that continues to be a watch for me. I wouldn't be buying it right now. Thanks for the call. Let's talk about the economic impact of these tariffs and the IMF's latest World Economic Outlook released on Tuesday. So last Tuesday, looked at and warned about the instability that is hammering international trade that would eventually hit growth. And you know, the biggest issue that most outside the country have is that they don't really know what the Trump administration wants. And they, you know, the finance minister of the Netherlands, for example, said, right now we're going through a fog. Says, what does this administration exactly want? Do they want a new trade deal? Do they want tariffs? We just don't know. And so that uncertainty and that fog is what hangs over the global economy currently. Now, even though Scott Bessent recently said that America first does not mean America alone, that was, I want to say Joe Biden said that. So I remember there was a politician on the left that said that on the campaign trail. I think it might have been Harris. I'm not sure. But it was interesting that he said that. So there's a lot of kind of contradictory statements coming out of the White House. And that makes this a difficult race to handicap. Now, we know Trump will be the final arbiter of these trade deals. And, you know, he talked about there's these very important ones. There's about, you know, 16, 18 that are very important. And he looks to get these done over these 90 days. Now we're 30 days in, roughly. So, you know, we have another 2 months. But remember that the last USMCA deal between Mexico and Canada in Trump 1.0, that took 18 months to hammer those trade deals out. So that's the hard thing here is how are they going to get through all those deals? And then what about China? Because China is clearly the most important. China and Europe, but mainly China, right? Now, the IMF has growth projections. And in January, they predicted that global growth would be 3.3%. Now, they expect it to be 2.8%. Germany is expected to go from 0.3% growth to zero. And Capital Economics, consultancy firm, they had the Eurozone GDP forecast down to near zero for Q2 and Q3. And then the US has been cut from 1.8% from 2.8% for the year. And the odds of recession are now 2 in 5, so about 40%. That's according to the IMF. Then there's the Peterson Institute. This is a more right-leaning think tank in Washington. And they have growth for the U.S. at just 0.1% for the year. Now, if you look at shipping, German shipping giant said that last week, 30% of its sailings to the U.S. from China were canceled. And China makes up 75% of the dolls, tricycles, scooters, other wheeled toys delivered to the U.S. consumer last year. So the toy industry is certainly going to be hurt by this. And then Procter & Gamble, Pepsi, Colgate Palmolive, Kimberly-Clark, they all cut their sales and profit forecasts, mainly due to deteriorating consumer confidence and obviously higher costs. And they're already seeing slowdowns in Europe and the U.S. Now, if you believe Apollo is a big hedge fund. Their expectations are a recession by the summer. What they see is that by early and mid-May, container ships to the U.S. ports will mostly stop. And then you have trucking demand grinding to a halt by late May, early June, and then layoffs in the trucking and retail industry create a recession in June. So that's their expectation. You're already seeing the difference between 12-month earnings per share revisions that are higher or lower head to levels that we have not seen since COVID. So it's about negative 50%. So if there's, you know, 20% are upgrading EPS, 40% are downgrading EPS effectively. And new order outlook for all the different ISM, Richmond Fed, Philadelphia Fed indexes, all of that, those are all almost all in negative territory now. The only one that's in positive territory still is Kansas. We have Richmond, Dallas, Philadelphia, New York, and the broad ISM new orders index all in negative territory. You have U.S. corporate CapEx plans also dropping as well. I always talk about C plus I plus G plus X. I is that investment. That's CapEx. If the companies are not investing in their business, that will hurt GDP overall, which translates into earnings on Wall Street. And then you have PC index, Fed manufacturing surveys. Those are headed higher, closer to about 4 to 5%. So you're getting that stagflationary environment. So that's what we're seeing, the impact so far. You have the Beige Book that was saying things like warning about pervasive international trade problems. And, you know, it's not showing up in that hard data entirely. You're starting to see some of it, like I said, a lot of it's survey related, but you're most likely to get that data hit sometime in May. Let's keep things moving and play another fresh caller question.
Hi, this is Dan from Walnut Creek, and I had a question on a stock symbol JEPQ, JP Morgan NASDAQ Equity Premium Income Fund, or ETF, excuse me. My question is, what is this exactly? And then I'm wondering, with the individual stock holdings I see, I don't understand how it can pay out an 11% plus dividend. The last question is, does this dividend fall under the lower tax rate because it is an ETF versus an individual stock? Thank you.
All right. This is the JP Morgan NASDAQ Equity Premium Income ETF. JEPQ is the symbol. And this is one of those covered call ETFs. And this is the perfect example. All these covered call ETFs, you have to throw out the dividend. The dividend does not matter. Ignore it. Throw it out. You have to look at total return. Okay. Total return. And let me look at if these dividends are qualified or not. Yeah, I believe they are qualified. I'm actually not 100% sure if they're qualified, to be honest with you. I do see them viewed as income, but I'm not sure if they're qualified. I'll have to double check on that. But basically here, this is following the NASDAQ 100. So it's owning the NASDAQ 100 stocks, and it is selling covered calls on top of that. Now, in a down market, that is a good thing. It hedges on the downside. In a choppy market, it tends to be good for overall returns, but it's not always. It depends on how it is executed. So for example, the Qs so far this year, down 7.4% on the year. JEPQ down 6.89%. So a bit better. The problem is last year, the NASDAQ was up 25.58% and JEPQ was up 24.9%. The year before that, NASDAQ was up 54.85%, JEPQ up 36%. Okay, and that is total return. That includes the dividend. Okay, so you're not adding the dividend on top of that. This is all inclusive of the dividend. So what you can see over the last three, it's about two plus years, right? Two years and 4 months. It's generally underperformed the Qs. So it's a lower risk way to get exposure to the Qs, but it's always about the underlying asset. Are they doing well? Or are they not? And to me, I wouldn't own this because I think the Qs are going to struggle in a time of deglobalization, regionalization, higher interest rates, lower dollar, lower price of the dollar, value of the dollar. And so I wouldn't be owning this because I don't like the underlying assets. Now we're going into our last break. Remember that coming up on Wednesday is our InvestTalk Wealth webinar. So head over to investtalk.com and register.
InvestTalk downloads have now surpassed 61 million. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero provide unbiased answers to your finance and investment questions. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Now, real quick, let's fit in another listener question from our InvestTalk YouTube channel. Matan B says, hi, InvestTalk. I'm looking to expand my international exposure. I currently hold ETFs focused on Europe, India, and Mexico, and I'm now considering FLJP for exposure to the Japanese market. I'd love to hear your thoughts on both Japan's market outlook and this specific ETF. Thanks so much for all you do. All right, Japan. It is a country that is moving out of its economic malaise that it's been in for, geez, decades now. I remember their real estate bubble in the 80s that bursts and it caused a lot of economic harm, very similar to R08. They handled it probably in a pretty bad way. They consolidated a lot of those banks instead of even allowing a lot of them to go under. And we did something similar, but not as extreme. And so it's taken some time for them to kind of reform their system. Obviously, they have demographic issues. That's a problem. They have issues with the fact that they're, you know, a series of islands and they don't have a ton of natural resources, especially energy. That's why they have a lot of nuclear power stations and they import a lot of natural gas, et cetera. So they have their challenges, but they also have a lot of good IP and great businesses. And in general, their economy has been improving and they're starting to get off the zero bound. They're starting to raise rates, strengthen their currency a little bit, and that's helping their stock market. So I like that you are looking at exposure there. This is the Franklin FTSE Japan ETF. 9 basis points is the expense ratio, and that's good. It's very cheap, and that's a 3 out of 5 stars on Morningstar. And your top holding is Toyota Motors, then Sony, Mitsubishi, Hitachi, Nintendo's up there, Keyence is up there. So a lot of very, very strong businesses. So I like this. I think you should have some exposure to Japan. And this is a good way to do it. Thanks for the question. Now, lastly, let's talk about let's get an update on the returns from foreign markets versus the U.S. market this year. Now, the MSCI USA index lost 11% in the first 16 weeks of the year, whereas the MSCI All World ex-U.S. benchmark was up 4% in dollar terms over that same period. That's the biggest gap on Wall Street since 1993. Remember, 93, we were battling a recession and the opposite of what's happening now, trade liberalization was actually helping a lot of these foreign markets. In Europe, the gap has been decent. If you look at the German DAX, its index is up 20% in dollar terms this year. And that's because they're talking about opening up their balance sheet and spending, try to stimulate their economy in a world that is entrenching. The France CAC 40 up around 12% on the year. So those are some of the stronger markets that are out there. And capital is flowing towards Europe. You know, mainly I think this has to do with strength of institutions, governance, and that stimulus. Okay, those are the three factors here. You know, the United States has always been a place of strong institutions, of corporate and, you know, federal government that has governance that is sound, that has some basis in instability. And I think the market, this is the market sending the message that the chaotic nature of these tariffs, and the first 100 days of the Trump administration is certainly hurting that view around the world. And so the second best place you go is Europe. And that's probably why money is moving there. Now, Asia's doing fairly well. Also, China's up about 10%, the Hang Seng, mainly based on the DeepSeek news, the AI models. That's when things started to get better in China. But money is mainly moving to Europe. And I think that will generally continue as long as this trade chaos continues. I'm Justin Klein. This completes another Invest Talk program. We thank you for listening. We encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. And be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. And keep in mind, if you need help better understanding your risk tolerance level and how your portfolio is aligned in this market environment, I encourage you to head over to investtalk.com and schedule a free portfolio review. Now, we're just 2 days away from our free Invest Talk Wealth webinar. It all happens online at 1 p.m. Pacific time this Wednesday. So head over to investtalk.com and register. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Good night.
Invest Talk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.